Thank you for joining us for episode 9 of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. This week, we take a look at a topic explored in a recent post about CDM, corporate device management. CDM has gone from an IT nightmare to standard procedure in a lot of places, and Brad will talk about how a cloud OS and a cloud-based approach to CDM can empower users and solve a lot of traditional problems for IT pros. Thanks again for joining us on the In the Cloud podcast. Corporate device management is a big topic in the industry right now, Brad, and we've talked about it here on the, I call it the Bradcast. That's what I like to think of as this.
I've never heard that before, okay?
It's been a place where Microsoft has really been leading the industry, is, you know, how to integrate these devices into an IT infrastructure, and the choose-your-own-device and the build-your-own-device scenarios have gone kind of from an IT nightmare of sorts to something that's really manageable, and a lot of that has come from some concerted effort here in Redmond. And in a post earlier this week, you wrote about what's going to be, I guess, the first of a three-part series that really digs into this cloud-first approach to corporate device management. And that first pillar is empowering users.
Yeah.
When you say that a cloud OS and a cloud-based approach to CDM, you know, the corporate device management, it needs to empower users. Tell me a little bit about what that means to you and how you're approaching it.
Yeah, so let me even kind of just walk through what we're seeing in the industry, and then that really, you know, kind of sets a baseline for the work that we're doing. When I get a chance to get out and meet with organizations, you know, I kind of have like a standard set of questions, if it's a data center or a private cloud conversation or enabling users across their devices. There's just like a kind of a handful of questions that I can ask. It helps me quickly understand where the organization is at, how are they thinking about bring your own device versus not allowing that. And it's really interesting. I actually see a pretty common set of responses, and let me kind of walk down through those. You know, so I'll always start asking, you know, tell me what you're doing for your PCs. How do you manage those? And more often than not, it's System Center Configuration Manager, which is the tool that's being used. And it's used, you know, roughly to manage 2 out of 3 desktops around the world for enterprise organizations. But this is where it really gets interesting. You know, when I ask organizations, hey, what's your philosophy around bring your own device? You really actually get a lot of different responses. Most organizations around the world are enabling users to bring their phones in. So bring your own device, bring your own phone in. They require a power on password, and they lock that down through various means. But then when I ask the question of, hey, what's your philosophy on bring your own device with respect to tablets and laptops, you really get a much more of a spectrum of answers. There's a lot of organizations that are totally enabling that, you know, enabling users to bring in their own tablets, bring in their own laptops. But many organizations are still pretty uncomfortable with that. At the root of a lot of that is a lot of organizations see that on phones, you know, their users are doing email. But once you go to a tablet or to a laptop or a PC, you're doing a lot more than email. And so there's just a level of concern that comes up about, wow, can I trust that device? And what if that device gets lost? And it's not a device that we've typically enabled our users on. But what's been really fascinating, I think, is the BYO conversation is had by every organization, because every company has to have a philosophy, has to have a point of view. And your point of view may be, we're not enabling it, but you have to have a point of view. And so for many organizations, they start with the BYO conversation, and if they say, hey, we're not quite ready for that yet, more often than not, what that leads to is an expanded view or an expanded willingness to let users select from a broader set of devices. And so, you know, a broader set of PCs, a broader set of laptops. And so there's more diversity in the environment no matter what. And so I call that CYO, or choose your own. So BYO often will lead to a world where users can choose from a more varying set of devices. But at the root of all this, really, an organization has to have a solution that allows them to tightly control the devices that need to be tightly controlled. And that could be anything from a kiosk to an ATM to a device that's used in a pharmaceutical or a financial organization that's highly regulated, all the way to a consumer-owned device that is owned and managed and controlled by the user, where IT is basically going to put policy in. Now, let's talk about where I think where Microsoft took an interesting approach at here. In all the work that we've been doing, we've really have tried to take both the needs of IT and of the end user and put those needs both up front in all of our research and all of our development. And so a lot of the work that we have done is about really empowering users to be productive. And a lot of the way that we've done that is by building a really rich experience in what we call the company portal that allows an organization, you know, first of all, these are applications that come down through the stores. It comes down through our stores. It'll come down through the other stores, Android and iOS or Apple. And that becomes this experience that users can then use to provision everything they need to get their work done, provision their applications, get access to different types of applications, get access to the data that they need. But it becomes this place where IT can brand itself, can brand the company, and make the users efficient by giving this company portal experience that is consistent across Windows devices and Apple devices and iOS devices. But it's all about, you know, a simple, consistent, easy-to-use experience that is intelligent, that users immediately understand how to get their work done with.
Something you said there is really interesting, and it's something that I've thought a bit about, which is that different approaches that different industries take and how they approach different devices within their organization. And clearly it seems that the attitudes amongst business leaders and some IT leaders are warming up to this bring your own and choose your own device trend. What do you think, or what do you notice, was the kind of the tipping point that started making them more comfortable with bringing more devices into their IT infrastructure?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one consistent thing that does that. You know, the organizations that I think are the most forward-looking and the most innovative enabling this are organizations that take the point of view of, wow, you know, we've got these incredibly intelligent and adaptive employees who will figure out how to get work done. You can take the approach that says, hey, we're not going to enable some of these pieces, but these innovative employees that these organizations have will figure out a way to do it. And so you talk about the consumerization of IT, and the consumerization of IT is all about consumers bringing these consumer-grade services and using them to actually accomplish business without IT having to approve it or having to do anything about it.
Right.
The organizations that I've met with that really I say, wow, these guys have got it. They've got a perspective that I think is leading is the organizations that say, we need to put enough control, governance, and access policies in place that make sure that we protect and secure and are compliant with respect to the corporate assets. But then give the users the ability to do what they do best, and that is to figure out ways to just get the job done. And I'll tell you, there's one organization that I met with a few months ago who I just walked away from the conversation going, wow, this is like the organization that's the most advanced that I've seen in this. They actually told me that they sat down and they said, listen, we've got 100 different requirements that we think need to be in place in order for users to be able to use whatever the device they want to use to be productive. And as we sat down and looked at what we could do, we thought we could enable 20 of them. And we realized, you know what, if we get these 20 done, we are pretty confident that the right things are being done to protect and secure the company assets. On the other 80, yeah, we could wait another year or two to get that work done, or we could just assume that users will be smart and they'll be adaptive and they'll just figure it out.
Got it.
And that's exactly what they said happened. So they rolled this out, and there were some naysayers in the organization that have said, we're not sure this is ready because, you know, we don't have this whole list done. And what happened is, sure enough, the users were able to figure out some of the things on their own. IT didn't have to deliver that. But IT enabled users on their devices, gave them access to what they needed to get their jobs done, secured and protected it all. But the users felt empowered. The users felt unencumbered, and they felt like that IT was enabling them.
I think that element of IT support is a big one, because as I've heard some of the anecdotal stories from these companies who are, you know, becoming more progressive with this bring your own and the choose your own trend, is it seems like a lot of things that Microsoft has done, you know, even outside of your organization, have really helped. So now there are things like the portability and accessibility of the Windows phone to data and how that phone can be locked down so well. There's things like Office 365, which can be used just about anywhere. So the productivity can stay really high. There's a lot of ways to keep your workforce productive with these devices. And then there is those access management tools. There's the, you know, Active Directory federated server. There's the system center configuration manager
and
intern.
Yeah.
So there's so many ways that, you know, once again, which were once upon a time, perhaps these kind of Armageddon scenarios of, well, what happens if ... you know, with these devices. It seems like a lot of those things are now being so proactively addressed that it's making that decision a lot easier.
Yeah, and the cloud is really what is enabling this. You know, for the organizations that have been with us for a long, long time on this journey of SMS and of System Center Configuration Manager, everyone will remember back in 2007 we released these set of capabilities that we called Internet Facing, and what the intent was to enable organizations to take their System Center Configuration Manager servers, effectively put them in the DMZ, and then have users be able to get access to that service through the firewall without having to bring a VPN up. But the reality was, it's hard to set up. You have to do certificate management. It was a good try at a very important set of scenarios, but it was just too complex to use and too complex to set up. Well, the cloud just alleviates all that for us. You know, with the cloud, the services are just running on the internet. The devices that are being used are always connected. And so, you know, as we think about how we really enable users across all their devices, we think the right way to do that is from the cloud. And certainly you see that with Office 365. We've taken Active Directory and cloud optimized that with Azure Active Directory. We've taken Config Manager and we've cloud optimized that with Windows Intune. But then we've created these strong ways where they integrate each other into a hybrid scenario. So in the work that we've been doing here, and we're going to go into more detail of this, you know, over the next several months, is enabling users and devices to actually get policy and content and applications from the cloud, but enabling that to all be administered if the IT organization wants to from their on-premise capabilities that they're already familiar with. They're already familiar with Active Directory. They're already familiar with Config Manager. So just use those skills, use those capabilities, and we'll automatically synchronize that and run that in a hybrid mode with our cloud services that we've cloud-optimized these on-premises solutions with. So the cloud has just been, for lack of a better word, a godsend and an enabler for enabling these kinds of scenarios.
So with that hybrid model available, which really goes so far to make so much of this possible, what are some of the remaining hurdles out there that keep businesses from adopting this, and how can IT teams work to mitigate some of those concerns?
Yeah, you know, the biggest concern that I hear from organizations as we talk about cloud optimizing these capabilities, the biggest one I hear is organizations say, well, okay, I'm a little concerned about identities, our corporate identities being out on the internet, and many of these require Active Directory Federation services to be deployed so that we can actually have Azure Active Directory populated. And the thing that everyone needs to remember here is, you know, you are in control of these identities. And you actually define what you want to have replicated between your Active Directory on-premises and Azure Active Directory up in the cloud. And what most organizations do is they actually don't replicate any of the IDs. They basically just have pointers that, you know, you authenticate against Azure Active Directory, but then it just links into your on-premises Active Directory. Your username, your password, all of that is stored in Active Directory in your data centers. But you use the Active Directory Federation services to actually make that connection with the cloud. So, you know, that's the biggest concern that I hear. The second thing is just organizations need to get more and more comfortable with using software as a service. 80%+ of the developers that we're talking with in startups are delivering all their value from the cloud. They're just born in the cloud from day one. We talk about organizations running in a hybrid mode. Most organizations that I talk to today are consuming software as a service somewhere, whether it's for their CRM, whether it's for office productivity, whether it's for even things like, you know, paychecks. Most organizations somewhere are using a software as a service offering. Learn from what's happened in the company, see what they've done, how they've got comfortable with it, and then embrace the cloud, embrace these software as a service offerings, and let us help you do that in a way that allows you to have it, if you want to, run in these hybrid modes where it's a combination of on-premises and in the cloud, which is what we've done with Active Directory and Office 365, as well as System Center Configuration Manager and Intune.
It's an awesome topic, this idea of empowerment, and this is just part one of this three-part series. So I look forward to seeing the next two. And hey, thanks for being back in the studio after a long break. Thanks again for listening to the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. If you'd like to read more about the topics that have been discussed today or any of the past posts that Brad referenced, check out his blog at aka.ms/inthecloud. And you can also follow Brad on Twitter at inthecloudmsft.